So this is Victory Sunday, right? And as always, let's start with a video. There's always veterans, right? And there's noobs. There's always people that are good at something, people that are learning. You know, we're all in this game, in this battle. And this series is about getting better at the game, better at the battle, to make sure that we're on the winning team. It's no good if we're going to get beaten up all the time. I mean, it sucks to lose, right? It's like, I'm tired. Aren't you tired of, like, being hammered by the evil one? Like, we're not going to take it. I'm not going to stand for this anymore. I'm going to eat spinach if I have to and pop up my muscles and get back at the evil one. This stops now. And that's what this series is about, preparing for victory. We spent a whole week looking at how does transformation actually happen in our lives. We went to the cross and we saw that, whoa, the cross has everything to do with our victory. Because that's where Jesus died for us. He was the guy rescuing us, pulling us out of danger. We saw last week with Hannes that our identity is critical. If I can know who I am, you know, who I am in Christ, we learned a couple things. Who are we in Christ? We are chosen. Who are we in Christ? Royal. And who are we in Christ? Yeah, that's who we are. We just need to live out who we are. If I'm the president's son, I shouldn't be begging at the street corner. I should be swimming in my fire pool and enjoying my chicken run. You know, I should be living the life of a president's son. But sometimes, sadly, we're not. The other big thing that happened last week that we're going to give you another opportunity to today, if you missed it, this is the last offer for this season, is the opportunity to be water baptized. As Hannah said, it doesn't save us, but it helps us identify with Jesus. It's a step of obedience. And for many people, as we talk and experience life, we realize that something happened when they obeyed Jesus by being baptized in water, because it symbolizes his death and resurrection to new life, and it's our identifying with that, and it's for believers. So if you're a believer, you don't have to be good enough. You don't have to get straight A's in math, because if that's the qualification, there's only going to be 5 people baptized in water. You know what I mean? Like that math thing, it's like hard. It's like, no, man. Is a B minus good enough? Can I get baptized because I got a B minus? Yeah, even if you got an E. If, we'll talk about it. And so here's an opportunity today. There'll be sign-up sheets on the table tennis table as we close this morning. And put your name down next Sunday morning. Get here 15 minutes before the service in your swimming trunks. And I'll mention that again at the end of the service. So we kind of turn a corner now. For the next 5 weeks, if you thought up until now was heavy and there was noobs and shooting and stuff, this is where the techie hits the tar, because we're going to look at 5 areas, okay? The big 5, if you like. 5 areas in which we need to experience victory. We're going to look at generational curses. We're going to look at relational issues. We're going to look at addictions, spiritual errors, and sexual sins. And 5 different people, including some pastors, are going to come in from the adult church, if Abby and Ayanda don't mind us using their parents one Sunday morning. And it's going to be quite the ride. To be honest, 9 years ago when we joined this church, I had never actually sat under the teaching that you're going to be experiencing today. I had no real idea. I had read here and there in the Old Testament that there were things like curses and blessing. But to be honest, my life, my church background, my culture knew diddly squat about curses. You know, it's like they don't happen. That's like voodoo, you know, maybe in Papua New Guinea or somewhere, but surely not in modern day South Africa. That's a really cool car, right? It's really just a super old VW. I bought Debbie one once. We drove to Tongaat on the north coast to buy it. Drove it back, smelling of fumes the whole way. That should have been a sign that when her brother drove it a week or two later, the thing burst into flames and exploded. That was my first and last effort at buying a used car, because I suck at buying new cars. But that Beetle could have been really awesome. Everyone, who wants to own a Beetle one day? like a souped-up Beetle, right? Just make sure it doesn't smell of fumes because it's probably petrol pouring out all over the spark plugs, right? But that's a cool car as well. It's the same, it's a generation or two or three later. There they are side by side. I mean, maybe give me anyone. You know, I'll drive any one of those. There's the VW Transporter or the Kombi from oldest all the way through to newest. And I mean, who wants to drive the car on the left? That Golf, rather than that Golf. We also bought Debbie one of those, redid the engine three or four times. So we don't have a good experience. But five generations of motor vehicles. Believe it or not, that's five generations of people. How awesome. Five generations. How many of you in your family have five generations alive? I don't think any of it is five generations. That's just incredible, okay? So it's like unique. Most of us might have three or four maybe, hey? Anyone with four? Quite a few people with four. And that's huge. There's another one. I mean, look at that. Granny looks just like that baby child. You know, it's like you start and you end life the same, you know? You can see the generational likeness because things are passed on through generations. Exciting things, but also, unfortunately, we get this idea from the Bible that sin affects generations. Listen to this. You shall not bow down to idols, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. It's a scary verse, right? It's right there in the Ten Commandments, that whatever happens, punishment is passed down. That scares the life out of me, right? Like, no one wants that. It's like, why do I have to pay for the sins of the past? You know? We have to. And because that's how it works. Sin passes down. We might call it, it's just genetics. My grandpa suffered with Alzheimer's, and my dad is, and I'll probably too. It's like, that's cool, whatever. No, not whatever. That's fatalistic. We might call it just disease. And of course there's disease. We might just say it's bad luck. How bad luck? You know, my great-grandpa was a hobo, and my dad was a, grandpa was a hobo, my dad isn't. I'll be a hobo one day living on the streets. No. We don't have to. We don't have to buy that line. It doesn't have to be like that. But sin runs through family lines. And so often in life, we expect blessings, and we end up experiencing curses. Okay, slow down, Tiger. What do you mean curses? Like, what's a curse? You mean like there really is such a thing as curses? Well, I want to suggest to you that curses are things that are transferred by spoken words. I can speak a curse over your life, or I can speak blessing over your life. Okay, and we're going to look at a lot of them from the Bible today. It's going to be the most heavy, scary, serious morning that you've ever experienced in your life. But better you hear it and break these things than just bashing your head against the brick wall. It affects more than just the individual. It can actually have an effect on the whole family, on a whole community, society, nation even. It passes on from generation to generation. So it's not like, okay, my grandpa was cursed, so I'm fine because it stops there. No, not necessarily. It will continue until it's canceled. Unfortunately, there's the secret in how to cancel it. More of that later. So what do they look like? Okay? Can we look at a few examples of curses? Quite a few, and begin to become aware of the potential of us to be experiencing a curse. For example, there may be recurring business failure or financial lack running through my family. Now, here's what we're not talking about in each of these. We're not talking about a once-off, I mean, even Donald Trump, who was here on Friday night hiring people, right? In our youth event, even he had a few financial setbacks. But we're talking about an ongoing, continual experience of lack of financial difficulty where no matter what people in my family try, it all amounts to nothing. That's a sign that there is financial lack running in my family line. There's a verse, for example, in Deuteronomy 28, the grain you harvest and the bread you bake will be cursed. You will plant many crops in your fields, but harvest little because locusts will destroy your crops. So it's not like the farmer is lazy and he's not planting, but whatever he does comes to nothing. Either people come and steal the crops, or the locusts come, or there's drought, and it goes on and on and on. It's the potential and the possibility that in that situation, there is a curse at work and it needs to be broken. Financial lack. Secondly, ongoing chronic or incurable disease. And I'm going to say the same about every one of those things. I don't mean one illness, one disease, one tough thing that we're dealing with, because we all go through that. It could be chemical, it could be biological, whatever. But when I look back at my family and I say every generation that's happened, the same thing is happening. Maybe something happened to start it, and just maybe something can happen to end it. And if that's possible, then we're going to go after that. So it's possible. So I want to tell you something. When you read the phrase in the Old Testament, the Lord will strike you with a disease, fever, and inflammation, you need to know that in the Hebrew mindset, there was only one cause of everything on earth, and that was God. Nothing happened outside of God's sovereign oversight. Nothing was that came into being without his will. And so whether you are born or you die, that was attributed to God. So a nation could attack you, and God was doing that. And there's an element in which God probably for his sovereign purposes stood back and allowed it, because he has the power, we have no doubt about that, to stop anything happening. But he's chosen to give humans free will. And so we live in this space, we inhabit this space, and we can actually, we have the right. Some people say to me like, oh, it's not fair that God judges sin. Or God should just wipe out any sin the moment it happens. Because someone just attacked my brother, stabbed him, and why doesn't God kill everyone that's about to sin? Quick question. How many of you would be alive if God killed every one of us every time we were about to sin? Oh dear. So it's not a very populous world, one in which the moment you think something evil, how many of you have seen Minority Report? It kind of goes back a bit. That society has precognition, like stuff happening that can sense you're about to kill someone. So as you're about to think it and do it, the SWAT team's in and you're killed. And it goes horribly wrong because there's obviously people that want to use it for their own ends. And so I don't want to live in a world in which if I think, ah, you idiot, you cut me off, I'm going to come across there and break your rearview mirror. And like, what happens? Lightning strikes my car and I'm dead. It's like, who's going to move all the cars out of the way? The city's going to be like a nuclear holocaust place. Okay? So does that give a bit of context? When you read things, the Lord will afflict your knees and legs with severe boils that can't be cured. So there's this law of like almost retribution. What you sow, you will reap. That's how the world is. And for the Hebrew mind, God does it. You know? And my theology is big enough to know that I'm not going to put God on the dock. I know God doesn't wish evil on people. He's a good and loving God. And so if I look in my family, again, if I got flu this week, it doesn't mean that I'm freaking out. I'm not cursed necessarily. Probably not. I probably got a virus in my throat, okay? And so I'm going to say, is there the possibility that this is something that's being handed down? For example, there's repeated mental illness or emotional dysfunction where people have just not been able to cope no matter what situation they find themselves. For example, we read in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord will send you curses, panic, and frustration in everything you do and strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. It's there. It's in the Bible, you know? It's like, whoa, if I open myself up to something, if something's happened in my past, it could well be. So it's a question to ask, is something more going on here than just something afflicting me this week? There could be recurring tough pregnancy, miscarriage, or barrenness. I know a family, and I'm going to keep it veiled. It comes close to home for me, but where a young lady of 14 got married in a lounge in private in a home at 15, heavily pregnant. Obviously fell out of school because you can't easily finish matric when that happens. And this young lady grew up. There was lots of turmoil in her life. It was one of the toughest lives that has ever lived. Her own daughter was pregnant at 15. We might say, well, that's just a coincidence. Like mother, like daughter. Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's not just a coincidence. Maybe if that's not broken, maybe there's a potential that in the next generation, that too is going to happen. And that someone needs to intervene and stop that. Does that make sense? Because it shouldn't be coincidence, right? You know? Yeah, stuff happens. Hey, maybe twice this week I ran out of airtime. Coincidence. You're probably not cursed. You're just speaking on the phone too much. But it's worth, am I right? It's worth answering the question. Should that be stopped so that doesn't happen in the next generation? And we can testify that hasn't happened in our generation. That says too much about the situation, maybe. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You will be cursed. You have few children. Your land will have few crops. Your cattle will be cursed with calves. Few calves, your flocks will have few lambs. So it's quite possible that a curse could be an operation and barrenness could be a result. I mean, I know Debs was even told by doctors she would never have children, but for prayer, but for God. You know, those doctors feel a bit silly now with the two children we have. It's like, but curses can be broken, can be removed. Repeated failure or oppression. So maybe my family have always been oppressed. So, well, that's just our lot in life. It's going to be the same. Or we keep trying to do things and there's just failure. You won't be successful in anything you do. As long as you live, you'll be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. People you never knew will eat what your land and your hard work have produced. Chilling, right? So you will try hard. It's not going to happen. Obviously spoken in the context of the Israelites trying to move out of Egypt, out of slavery, settling in the promised land. Nations would come and take them over. And God was saying, if there's a curse over you, it needs to be broken. What about frequent disunity and calamity in the home? Well, that's just my family. We've always had issues. There's always been divorce in our family. There's always been fighting. That's just what it is. It's normal. 3-4 marriages, that's a good one. You know, that's a good innings. And we just fatalistically stand back and say, it'll probably be the same. I hope I get a good settlement in each of the court hearings. You know what I mean? No. This stops now, you know? This is not going to go further. That may have happened before, but it's not going to go forward. You will be engaged to a woman, but another man will have sex with her. I don't write this stuff. It's in the Bible, Deuteronomy 28. You will build a house, but you won't live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you won't enjoy the grapes. If there's a curse, that curse needs to be broken. If it's barrenness, if it's issues of sexuality, we need to deal with that. So I guess it begs the question, so where do curses come from? The Bible answers that question and says that there's a number of possible places where they can come from. And the first one is idolatry or false worship. Never make your own carved idols or statues that represent any creature in the sky, on the earth, or in the water. Never worship them or serve them, because I, the Lord your God, am a God who does not tolerate rivals. So if I've been involved in false worship, that's going to have an impact on my life. When I spend a whole week looking at spiritual errors. Dishonoring parents, believe it or not, cursed is the person who dishonors his father or his mother, Deuteronomy chapter 5. So a curse can come on us when we dishonor our parents. And I don't think we're talking about your parents says it's 9:30, switch off the light, and at 10:10, the light's still on. I don't think it's that. I think there's a depth of dishonoring and disrespecting that takes it a little bit beyond a mistake. Ooh, I'm meant to go to sleep and then I got a text message from him. You know what I mean? There's a bit of understanding in that situation. Injustice or violence can also bring a curse. Cursed is the person who withholds justice from the alien, the fatherless, or the widow. People that don't give justice to people would be cursed. Cursed is the person who kills his neighbor secretly. So clearly it's better to kill your neighbor publicly. then you can do the time. But if you do something in secret, a curse is on you. And that's why I'm convinced that we might look at situations and say there's no justice, but there is justice, because built into this world, this life, God ensures justice. Then there's spoken curses. That's probably the most obvious, that someone can actually speak a curse over you. You often hear people saying that, Ma, this old gogo, she spoke a curse over this person in the family, and since then, everyone's been dying in their 20s and 30s. That has to be broken, otherwise it's going to carry on. He loved to put curses on others, so he too was cursed. He did not like to bless others, so he never received a blessing. And I think that person who curses will be cursed as well. There's immorality or incest. Not sure where that picture's from. Just kidding. Whoever has sexual intercourse with his sister, his father's daughter, his mother's daughter, or his mother-in-law will be cursed. So through sexual deviance in family lines, this is hectic, right? But a curse will come and will flow down. Illegitimacy. No one born of a forbidden marriage, nor any of his descendants, may enter the Lord's assembly, even down to the 10th generation. It's hectic. And so if that's happened, voila, there's a solution, there's a remedy, and we'll walk through that this morning. So it's not, oh, well, we can't do anything. And finally, robbing God. Look at that robber dude. You are cheating on me when you don't bring a tenth of your income to the storehouse, so curses on you because the nation is cheating me. Hectic, right? Curses. How many of you would say the idea of curses are part of your frame of reference, your thinking, your world? Any of you? It's right, eh? Most of us. Really. It's like out there, you know? It's like, that's rural. Well, it seems to be pretty mainstream in the Bible because it wasn't hard to find verses. Do you remember last week that Hannah said there's freedom from curses on the cross? This is what he said. Through the cross, we are redeemed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So it's not just Old Testament, New Testament. And we are blessed. Christ paid the price so that the blessing promised to Abraham would come to us. Can you see that there's two lines? There's a line of curses and a line of blessing. And I will portray that in one scripture. You got that, those who are writing it down? There is a scripture that says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life. So there's two channels. There's life and death. There's blessings and curses. Choose the left fork, because that has life, and you and your children may live and enjoy the land. So it's up to us. We can have life or we can have death. We can have blessings or we can say have curses. I'm going to ask some of my assistants to hand out what is known as a profile, okay? We're going to give you a pen. If you guys could get pens out to everyone, maybe grab a pile, give it to a few at the end, and they can pass them down. And in the Victory Weekend that this, you know, the church often does this on a weekend, you'll get this little booklet, this profile booklet, and you get a chance to think through any possible issues in this area. And we're going to do this every Sunday for the next 5 weeks in the five areas. And so today, it's focused around what are the generational curses that I could be on the receiving end of. Okay? So notice it's could. And so what you're going to do is you're going to take your pen and you're quickly going to go down the line, and it's quite heavy, I'm not joking. You're going to tick whether you're safe from that totally, or that was an issue in your past, or that's an issue now, either in your family or in your own life, okay? So you only tick one of those, I guess, and you'll go down. There's a space for some spoken words where you might say, this is what's been spoken over me. Someone once said to me, you're never going to amount to anything. You'll never be a leader in the church because you just want people to like you and you want to be popular. That was like a curse, you know, that was broken. And then vows. Have you made any vows to yourself that could be a problem? So it's a chance to go introspective. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, and then I'm going to take you into a time of prayer to break anything that could be an issue. So here's here's how we're going to go forward, because it's the first step to become aware that maybe there's something that has been an issue in our family line. The next is to say, well, what do I do about that? And we're going to do this in each week coming forward, okay? So these 5 weeks are going to have a similar feel to them. We're going to start, and it's a five-step process to deliverance. We're going to start by recognizing, okay? We're going to recognize any issue that God has brought to our attention that needs to be dealt with. And so when we stand for prayer later, all of us, not just one or two of us, we're going to say, okay, I'm looking at my list. I'm identifying that issue and that, or just this one. I'm going to work on that. That's the critical issue. If that can be broken, hey, my future's going to be better, okay? Secondly, I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn my back on that issue. So it's kind of like I've been here side by side. We've been best of mates, that issue in my past, you know, a generational curse, and I'm going to turn my back on it. And maybe we'll even do a declarative action by physically turning to the side. Okay, so we're going to repent, turn our back, choose to renew our mind, and ask God to help us think differently about that matter going forward. Thirdly, we're going to renounce. We're going to break any agreement, or we're going to renounce its power in our lives. Because maybe we've aligned with something. Maybe we've agreed. You know, there was an episode where Bart Simpson sold his heart to the devil, if you remember. It was quite deep and dark, but it was funny as well, okay? And it was like, you know, if you've done that, hey, that's not the last word on it. We're able to fall out of agreement with the issue and renounce its power, okay? And we're going to say, hey, no more. We're going to shut that door. We're going to say that door that was opened is no longer open. The fourth step is that we're going to rebuke. We're going to rebuke any authority of the evil one. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and that's going to be the end of it. There's no shouting. There's no arguing. There's no arm wrestling with the devil. He has no authority. He's beaten. We're just waiting for the final day of victory to be proclaimed. And lastly, we're going to receive. Now that God has dealt with all that, blocked that curse, we're going to receive blessing in return. We're going to receive whatever it was. So if there was barrenness, there's going to be 17 children in the first year, okay? And it's going to be amazing. What do you call 17 lits? Yeah. No, there's going to be blessing where there was curse. No, I think that would be a curse to have so many children. Okay. And so here's what I want you to do, and later we're going to destroy those piece of paper, but for now I want you to stand, and I'm going to pray you through this process, and you're welcome to peep every now and then if you want to look back on your list and see. But I want you to each say, I'm coming before God now, and I am going to recognize an issue that needs to be dealt with. And so let's pray. Father God, we come before you now, the God of all gods, the supreme, the God of all power or knowledge or wisdom. There is no one greater than you. No one can arise to take over your throne, because you are King and Lord, and you are Lord of both heaven and earth. And we come to you this morning, and we recognize that as we've sat here this morning, some areas come to mind of concern where a curse may be in operation, and we are coming before you now so that it will stop. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this issue, and I'm going to name it now, that this issue will be broken right now. We say, Lord God, that no more will there be in our lives. We come and we name it. Spend a moment just saying, Lord, this issue, this is what we're going to deal with now, or issues. And Lord, right now, I come and I repent. It's not necessarily that I've done something wrong, but I'm going to turn my back on that thing. And I'm going to physically turn to the left. And I'm going to say, Lord God, no longer am I involved with that thing. That thing is behind me. That thing and I, we're not walking together. We're not mates. We're not going together in the same direction. We are taking a different path. And I want you to pray in your heart quietly, Lord, I repent of that thing. no longer is a part of my life. It's part of a previous generation. It ain't going forward. I repent of it. And Lord, right now we come and we fall out of any agreement that was made. If someone made an agreement on our behalf to be a part of something, some area that's not of you, right now we say we tear that up. And I'm going to see a tearing happening of that thing, that contract that was made over our lives. And no longer is it real. And we renounce the power. And in Jesus' name, I renounce the power of every one of these curses over every single life. They are broken in the name of Jesus. And all you need to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for your power that breaks the curse in your name. We're going to right now rebuke the enemy. He has no right in our lives. He is a defeated foe. And right now we say, there is no more access from the evil one to this era of my life. He is gone and dealt with. The power of Jesus is greater than the power of the evil one. And Jesus, we receive right now your blessing. Where the evil one intended to curse us and to harm us, right now we breathe in blessing. We breathe in the opposite of what happened to us in that area. And we say we receive life and health and healing and financial success. We receive clear minds. We receive a new heart, a new spirit, a new future, because you have come and broken any curse. And right now, I'm just going to give you one more chance to just think that through again. If there's another issue on that list, I'm going to do a speed version as we go through. If you want to bring something else that you identified, maybe it's some error, and you want to say, yeah, I want to go after that as well, here's what we're going to do. Bring it with you. And we're going to say, here's the issue, Lord. We're dealing with that right now. And right now, in your name, we turn our back on it. No longer is that thing. In my mind, I see myself turning and walking in another direction. Right now, I break any agreement that was made with anyone in my past that tried to do that over my life. And I renounce its power over my life. It may have had power in the past, but going forward, this thing has no power. And right now, I rebuke the evil one in this area. You will have no right in this area. Right now, it is God and me going forward. You have no right. I want you to see yourself shutting a door. You take it by the handle and you shut it, and the issue's on the other side, and the evil one trying to do something is jumping up and down, foaming at the mouth, but he can do nothing because by the power of Jesus, he has been defeated. He can pretend to have power over us, but he has no power over us. And right now, we receive your freedom, your healing, your power in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray after me. Thank you, Lord, that you have broken this curse over a generation past, that it will end now and not be in my future. Thank you for your blessing, for your life and health. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. I can say with authority that you're free. That curse, that generational issue is not going to continue. You are free. And so I want to remind you about signing up for baptism. Awesome way to seal what God has done in our lives. And there are sign-up sheets on the table. And if you are one of those who signed up last week, there's 13 people in total so far, but you have still a chance now to sign up. Anyone thinking of still signing up that hasn't signed up? Anyone? Show of hands. Anyone feel like it's my time to be baptized? Another chance. Thanks, Andres. Anyone else? See that hand? Someone else? Can't do it again just to swell the numbers, okay? It's like a once-off deal. It's like, you're done. Can't swim in church every Sunday. It's like, it's just wrong, okay? So if anyone else still wants to and you're still thinking of it, even in the week, you might want to phone. So come be here at like 15 minutes before the service. Meet downstairs, you know, where they take the money. When the offering's done, through the little side door on the left-hand side of the stage in front of where we sit, make sure you bring snorkel, flippers, and goggles. You don't need that stuff. Just wear something appropriate, like baggies and a shirt. Make sure it's not see-through, guys, because we don't want to see too much. Girls, of course. And bring a change of wares, change of underwears, because you don't want to be, you know, changing afterwards like, oh, shucks, I only got one pair of underwears. Okay, very practical if you're walking around and feeling like it's gross. We'll preheat the water to 23 degrees or leave it at zero. We're not sure, and I'm sure it'll be fine. I think that's all you need to know. And you'll get a certificate that you can show the evil one if he comes and says you're not really a child of God. It's a symbol of the reality. It's not the reality, okay? It's not what saves you. You're saved by the grace of Jesus. So we're going to have an awesome week next week looking at relational issues. Tabile, am I right? Is it you up? Woohoo! Okay, and then I think Genevieve is the week after that. And it's going to be quite an experience. I warned you that today was going to be hectic. Did I? Thanks for being part of this. God bless.